Well, friends, we have been going through the book of Romans, the last half of Romans, 9 through 15, or hopefully we'll get to 16, we'll see. Last week we did the second half of chapter 12, but chapter 12 started a new section of this epistle of Paul to the Romans, and the theme of these chapters is stated in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Last week, we looked at some mottos for living. How do we live out sincere love? And this week, we're going to learn that not being conformed to this world does not give us license to disobey human authorities. But Paul will tell us why we need to, in fact, in our renewed minds, be model citizens. So this morning, Barb's going to read our scripture.
Good morning. I'll be reading Romans 13, 1 through 7. Before I read, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship together. Thank you for establishing this country where we can worship freely. Bless Pastor Tom's message today so we can take it with us and apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Barb, well, I'm going to use a bad word today. It's an offensive word. It's the S word. Most of us don't like to talk about it, but I'm talking about submit. Yeah, you thought other S words, huh? But this word does not sound good to our ears, does it? We feel like we're supposed to be doormats or allowing others to trample over us. It sounds weak, but to submit is not mindless obedience. It means hupotasso is the Greek, to stand under or to come under, use your strength to lift another up. It's a word of order. Soldiers need to submit to their commanding officers. It does not make them robots or weak. It makes them part of a unit, and knowing your place in that unit is important. Paul's main point in verses 1 through 7 is that since we have been chosen by God's mercy, which was 9 and 10, 9 through 11, we are now changed for life. Therefore, we must submit to governing authorities. We naturally and understandably bristle when we're told to submit, yet submission, I commend to you, is a spiritual discipline. This is a way we live out our love for God and neighbor as God continues to renew our minds by His Holy Spirit. Learning to submit is a central part in maturing in our faith. Here's my outline for today. We're going to start with two reasons we are told to submit to those in authority. Second, we're going to talk about pay what you owe. And then third, look at a gospel model. So first, two reasons. The first reason is that all authority is given by God. To rebel against authority is to rebel what God has put in place. We are answerable to God and answerable for how we have submitted or not submitted to those that He has put over us. Friends, governments, from democracies to authoritarian rulers, are placed there by God. They are to maintain law and order for the well-being of people. And Christians are told to be model citizens, whether they're living in ancient Rome or in Jerusalem or Babylon or America. So what does the Bible say is to be our interaction with these secular leadership? Well, we might be surprised that even those in secular positions of authority are called here God's servant, put in power by God himself. Well, that raises some objections. So what about evil leaders? What about Nebuchadnezzar, King Ahab, Queen Jezebel? How is it that God puts Pontius Pilate or Emperor Nero, which caused such devastation to Christ and his church? And every commentator on this passage since World War II has said, how has God put Hitler or Stalin in positions of power as they demanded evil actions? Well, Paul doesn't address all of these problems in the sense that what do we do with governments that punish those who are good while rewarding those who do wrong? But because it's an objection that comes to our minds, we should address it. First, I'd want to say that Paul is not naive. He knows the power of governments to be evil. He knows that it was a governmental order that killed Jesus. He knows the good and the bad of the Roman judicial system personally. For those he is writing to in Rome, many of them will be put to death in the Colosseum or burned on a pole on the whim of an emperor. The Bible knows all about rulers who do evil, and it is clear that God will judge them. They are answerable to God for how they have ruled. The scriptures clearly warn us that in the last day, there will be those who are set in authority over peoples, nations, and tribes who will blaspheme God and make war against the saints and will kill them. So there is no thought here that government is always right because they are put in power by God. For there has never been a perfect human government, and there have been some really horrible ones, and there will be. Yet, Romans 13:1 is a universal principle. It was true for the Christians in Rome. It was true for the Christians in Jerusalem. It was true for us today that we are to be subject to those in authority. Even the Christians in Rome submitted to the government that was out to get them. They paid their taxes, and at the same time, they wrote letters to the emperor pleading to change the laws. Friends, it's not contradictory to do both. We submit to those governing authorities. We pray for them, and we seek to change the unjust laws that are in any land at any time. Yet as children of God, we do not set ourselves up as those who are above the law of the land. God has designed the world to operate in a hierarchy of power. We understand that. We understand that parents are set over their children, and children are to honor their parents. Well, the same principle applies to rulers as well. God has put citizens under the rulers, and they are to honor their governments above them, and God is above all. So when a human government or a human authority of any nature says to do something that's contradictory to God, friends, we must always submit to God's word and God's law first and foremost. He is our highest and ultimate authority. If there's a contradiction to what humans say and what God says, it is right for us to obey God rather than humans. And yet the normal order of things is that we are to obey those that have been put in authority over us. So the church, we pray for our leaders. We seek to bless those who are lawmakers, lawyers, judges, and in law enforcement. The second reason that Paul gives us to submit to those in authority over us is because authorities are to benefit the good and punish the wicked. If we want to stay out of trouble with the law, then we better obey the law. If we disregard the law of the land, we can expect to pay the penalty. Pretty straightforward thinking there. The role of the government should be the flourishing of its citizens. Those in power should serve the needs of their constituents and justly punish wrongdoers. So I want to submit to you that submit is not a bad word. It is actually a spiritual discipline. The next section goes into paying what we owe. And we're going to talk about another great topic, taxes. What's our attitude about taxes? Well, Paul say that Christ followers should pay their taxes. One reason, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to get in trouble. You might go to jail for tax evasion. It's a very practical reason that we aren't to cheat and not pay taxes. But secondly, he says, also pay your taxes for conscience's sake, not only to avoid punishment, but because governments are servants of God and are rightfully due our taxes. Now you say, oh, but they're not doing a good job with my taxes. You know, maybe I'll pay my local taxes. I see the benefit of the roads, the county parks, of the emergency plans. You know, I see some benefit there. But as we get up to state and federal taxes, I don't always agree to how they're spending my money. I don't trust them. I don't like what they're spending it on. Well, friends, that objection is no different from anybody in any other time of the world. Even from Paul's day, they paid taxes to Rome. And they didn't like everything that Rome was doing. There were no Christian governments in Paul's day. There was no Christian king or emperors. And so the money that was paid in taxes went to support a military that they may not agree with. Their money they paid in taxes went to the upkeep of temples of false gods. And yet they were told to pay their taxes. Paul does not say just to submit to those who are Christians or submit to good kings. He says submit to those who are in authority. Why? Because submit is not a bad word. It's a spiritual discipline. It forms our hearts and our minds. We are commanded to give to everyone what we owe. Paul says, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. Well, that made me wonder, what's the difference between paying taxes and revenue? And the best thing I could come up with is that we pay multiple layers of taxes. We pay our income tax, we pay our property tax, we pay our school tax, we pay our sales tax, you know, so that's kind of how I made sense of that. We're not to cheat the system. We're not to get away with not reporting income that nobody's going to know about. We're supposed to be honest, model, moral citizens. Additionally, it says, if we owe someone respect, then give them respect. If honor, we give them honor. You may not like or agree with those in positions of political power. You may even have strongly detest what some of them are doing, and yet we respect them. We honor them. They are public servants, and they have authority over us. Friends, I say that trying to be clear because we live in a day and age where respect and courtesy seem to be no longer commonplace. And in fact, rudeness seems to be commonplace anymore, but not here in the church. Here, we are not conformed to the spirit of the age, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we honor and respect God, we as a church honor and respect our parents. We honor and respect our elders, our leaders. We honor and respect them whether they're perfect or not. We honor and respect them because they have been put in places of authority by God, and by submitting to them, by honoring them, we are ultimately honoring and submitting to God. And where they go wrong, God is their judge, not us. Well, I want to move on to a gospel model, because in the gospel we see a story that I always am drawn to. It's a story of Jesus who meets a Roman centurion, and the story is told in Matthew chapter 8. I want to just read here we are, a couple verses of it. Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say a word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Then Jesus heard this. He was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." So he's talking about faith, and he's talking about how it works like an authoritarian structure. Faith submits to God, knowing and trusting in God's authority and our place under God, that God's word goes. Yet the wonder of the gospel is that Jesus, the ultimate authority, shows us what submission looks like. The gospel shows us that who is at the top of that pyramid is God himself. And Jesus is co-equal with God the Father. He's of the same substance. He's always existed with him. He is God. He is the author of all things. He is the final authority. And yet, the gospel story says that he did not take that position of authority as something he needed to hold on to, but rather he voluntarily lowered himself, coming to the very bottom of the structure, taking on the position of a servant. Eternal God was born a child. And the Bible says he honored his earthly parents. Mary and Joseph were not perfect. They made mistakes. They may have made some whoppers of mistakes in their day. But Jesus submitted to them. He honored them. He also honored the authority of the Roman government. We have stories of Jesus paying taxes. We see Jesus submitting to Pontius Pilate at his trial and saying that he would have no authority over Jesus except that God had put him in a position of authority. And he submitted to death by crucifixion, the only innocent, truly good person that ever lived. Yet this was not the end of the story. For God the Father, the righteous judge, raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him by giving him a name that is above every name, which his name will cause every knee to bow in respect and honor before Jesus and confess that Jesus is Lord. This is the voluntary submission of God's love for us. So when we think about submission, let us keep Jesus and the gospel story before us. This is the model of our submission. How God himself lowered himself, submitted for our sake out of love for us. And friends, the challenge is with our transformed, renewed minds that we might have the same mindset. That we might have the same mindset and submit to others in obedience to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for some clear instructions that, sir, some of us were a little bit uncomfortable and bristling at, and yet show us what we need to do. And while I know that there's always exceptions to the rule, may we be people who at our core honor you and honor those in authority over us. Lord, we pray for them, and we ask that you would help us to submit as appropriate to them. In Jesus' name, amen.